I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Keir Starmer is under mounting pressure after Labour suffered heavy losses in England's local elections, with Nigel Farage's Reform UK making historic gains across traditional Labour and Conservative strongholds. As the political map shifts dramatically, George Parker, Financial Times political editor, joins me now to sift through the rubble. George, good morning.
Morning.
So just to give us in summary, what's the picture like? Scotland, Wales and England, is it catastrophic for Starmer?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, it's one of the worst sets of results we've ever seen from a governing party. The Labour Party lost 1,400 odd seats. They were defending 2,500. So a large proportion of the seats they were defending went down the drain. At the same time, Nigel Farage's Reform UK came up. And what was, if you sort of look below the bonnet of that, you can see the Labour Party being obliterated in some of the working class English towns, places like Wigan or Sunderland, by Farage's Reform UK. And in Wales, where basically Labour's run the roost for the best part of a century, they've lost control there of the Senate. And in Scotland, the SNP have continued a governance there, which has lasted for almost 20 years. So all across the UK, apart from Northern Ireland, the Labour Party has been absolutely hammered.
Now, what about the Conservatives? I mean, they were looking like a party that was doomed in any event, and that Farage would certainly eat their lunch. Obviously, his appetite is broader than just the Conservatives, but how did they do?
Really badly as well. I mean, what you're really seeing is the breaking up, or at least we saw the breaking up yesterday, of the old two-party system in Britain, the sort of duopoly of the Conservatives and the Labour Party, who've dominated Westminster politics for the best part, well, for over a century now, being broken. And the Conservatives, like the Labour Party, were hammered in places like Essex, just outside London, which is where Kemi Badenoch, the Tory leader, has her seat, and a number of other Tory bigwigs. Reform UK completely smashed them. They lost, I think, over between 500 and 600 seats. The only thing that I would say about the Conservative Party is that despite the fact they did really badly, the spotlight has not been on Kemi Badenoch in the way it has been about Keir Starmer, just because she actually is slightly more popular than her extremely unpopular party.
Now, the statement from Starmer that I take full responsibility for these terrible results, but I'm not going anywhere. So what does taking responsibility mean?
Well, that's a good question. And there are a lot of Labour MPs who would wish that he took responsibility, as you suggest, by quitting. But Keir Starmer's a stubborn man. He's a proud man. And he believes that he can turn things around. He doesn't want to be dragged out of number 10 at a time when he's perceived to have been a complete failure, when his own administration is mired in the kind of scandals we've seen recently with the Peter Mandelson affair. So he claims that he can see a way through, that he can raise his game. And he's going to take responsibility by leading the party out of this mess. The problem is that a large part of his party, including privately a number of members of his cabinet, think that it's gone too far, that his popularity in the country is just so appalling that you just simply can't turn it around with him as a leader.
Now, the question is who might be leader in his absence and how it would look. How many prime ministers would we have had in the past 5 or 6 years?
Oh, my goodness. You're testing my memory here. So this used to be quite an easy question to answer, but we've had David Cameron, we've had Theresa May, we've had Boris Johnson, we've had Liz Truss, we've had Rishi Sunak, and now we've had Keir Starmer. So that's since 2015, anyway, so that's the last 10 years.
So that would be six, and we'd be going for a seventh if Starmer was to be removed.
Yeah, it's starting to look a bit like the manager's chair at Chelsea Football Club, to be honest, Pat. We are becoming the kind of Italy of Italy, of course, now is a stable government. We're becoming what Italy used to be, and I think that's one of the things that's holding some Labour MPs back. The idea that we've just been through the chaos of the dying days of the Conservative administration. Do you really want to go back there? That's holding them back. They also appreciate that there's an international crisis underway that Keir Starmer's deemed to have handled reasonably well, to be fair to Keir Starmer. But the thing that's egging them forward is the fact they look at the situation in their backyards and think, my job's going to be gone in a couple of years' time when there's a general election. To give you an example, Lisa Nandy, who's the culture secretary, she's the MP for Wigan. The Labour Party lost every single one of the 20-odd seats it was defending in Wigan to Reform UK. So you can see that there's an awful lot of nervousness and angst around the Labour Party this morning.
So what is the core issue in these areas where they lost most soundly? Is it immigration?
No, I think immigration is a sort of lightning rod for other problems. Look, I mean, the real truth of the matter is that, and I spent some time in Wigan actually not very long ago, is that these are places which, you know, down on their luck, people have been voting for change, something to make things better for the best part of 20 years since the financial crash. But as we know, the economy's barely moved in the last 20 years. Living standards have got worse. Public services have got worse. Town centres have closed down. And I think what happened there was that in 2024, at the last general election, people thought, well, at last we've got rid of the evil Tories, boo hiss, the Labour Party here. Now, surely something's going to change. And nothing's changed. And in fact, there's a sort of view that settled very quickly that Keir Starmer was just more of the same. And that frustration has curdled into real anger and in some cases, real hatred towards Keir Starmer, which, you know, I think looking at it from the outside, you might think it's slightly surprising. I find it slightly surprising, but people, you know, you talk to Labour MPs, ministers, they all say that you knock on the door and people say they actually really hate Keir Starmer.
Now, the problem, as we see it, if Nigel Farage is setting himself up to be the next British Prime Minister, it means there will be no reversal of Brexit because he was the totem, I suppose, for Brexit. And yet Brexit is at the heart of many of Britain's economic ills.
Yes. I mean, look, I think Brexit in a way was a symptom of the wider problems I was just discussing. And Reform did very well in the elections here in the last couple of days in places which voted for Brexit. But the places that voted for Brexit were doing it also because they wanted change. You know, it was a cry for help, really, that we've tried everything else. Maybe this will do it. But Reform now, they don't talk about Brexit, of course, because it's deemed to be by many people a complete failure. They're not talking about that now, but they are talking about the fact that the people have been let down. Immigration, as you say, is something they used as an example of what they regard to be broken Britain. But yeah, the results were extremely good for Farage. He claims that he's cleared Beecher's Brook and he could now win the Grand National, by which he means the general election in 2029.
But the things people complain about, I mean, besides local facilities, libraries, street cleaning, garbage, everything like that, not being, as it used to be, an efficient service. But the NHS is also one of those topics. And the NHS was populated by many people who came from outside Britain to keep it going. You have Brexit and a lot of people from continental Europe said, not staying here, might never get tenure, might never get the right to live freely here. I'm off. So, I mean, joined up thinking is something that you hope people will have, but that's not necessarily so.
Well, I think you've made the point very well. I mean, the Financial Times was no enthusiast for Brexit, as you know. And I mean, not just, you know, the fact that what are you going to do when people go home and you've got no one to work in the hospitals, but how do you think it's going to help your economy by erecting trade barriers? How can you be a party which says we want free trade and then put up huge trade barriers to your nearest and most valuable trading partners? I mean, the whole Brexit premise was nonsensical, to be honest. But as you say, people weren't doing very much joined up thinking and probably aren't now.
Now, finally, George, I should ask you about Farage. When he came out, where was it, in Havering in London, after they had taken that council early yesterday morning? Or I think that's when I saw him. He was, you know, boasting about how the landscape had changed. And then he looked for questions. And one reporter, when he was talking about council funding, said, what about your own funding? And he cut him dead instantly, because there is a scandal brewing for Farage if ever it is allowed to mature.
Yes, I mean, this is the I think we can call it a scandal, the fact that he was given a gift of £5 million by a cryptocurrency investor who's lived in Thailand for many years. It wasn't declared, it only came to light through the work of The Guardian. And it's hugely embarrassing. For a £5 million gift is more than many of Nigel Farage's constituents would earn in multiple lifetimes. You know, it's it's one of the reasons why I still think that despite the, you know, the headlines that Farage generates, I still think it's unlikely that he will get into number 10 in a couple of years' time. I think there are too many problems in his party, too many problems around his own personal finances in this case. And even if he gets to the starting line of an election in 2029 as the favourite, you can imagine there'll be massive tactical voting, because Farage is very, very popular with some people, but also very, very unpopular with an even bigger group of people. And even the most recent results this week, the overall projected national vote share for Reform UK was about 28-29%. That still, I don't think, would be enough to get him over the line in a general election. So there's still a long way to go.
George Parker, Financial Times political editor. George, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.